Welcome to the committee. You're from Yam Hill. Where's your library in McMinnville?
I'm the director of McMinnville Public Library and the president of the Oregon Library Association. Senator Harkton, would it be all right if the other two people on
Certainly.
The panel joined me?
So Angela Reynolds them. And B.J. Quinlan. Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself and proceed.
I'm Angela Reynolds. I'm the chair of the Children's Division of the Oregon Library Association, and I work at the Washington County Libraries.
Oh, good.
And I'm B.J. Quinlan. I'm Youth Services Manager at Salem Public Library.
Good.
Once again, Senator Hartung and committee. I'm Ann Van Sickle. I'm president of the Oregon Library Association. The Oregon Library Association has well over 1,000 members. These are people who not only work in schools, public, and academic libraries throughout the state of Oregon, but friends of libraries, foundation board members, lots of other people who support Oregon libraries. We are here today essentially to support the Oregon State Library budget because all of our members are well aware of the kinds of services that we receive through Oregon Library, and we are very appreciative of the kinds of things that they do for all Oregonians through the State Library. We are here particularly to support the Ready to Read program, which is a program that is that provides at this point $1 per capita for children served by public libraries in the state of Oregon. All of the public libraries in the state of Oregon are eligible to apply for these grants, and most of them do. And what happens with these dollars is that it makes an amazing difference in the ability of public libraries to provide a foundation for children who are starting to school. Because these dollars are for children ages 0 to 14, many public libraries focus very strongly on preschool children and the younger ages of elementary school, because we know that one-third of the children in the state of Oregon who start school without the necessary skills to learn, and particularly to learn to read, which is pretty much the foundation of all education. We both of the people on either side of me work directly with children. I can tell you from Yamhill County, and particularly the city of McMinnville, we have a long-standing partnership with our Head Start program, and it has been more rewarding than I can tell you to watch the difference that it has made to have the library and Head Start in partnership to help these children, mainly because it doesn't just get the children ready to read. It incorporates their entire families, and because we make it a family experience, we have had parents who have gone to get their GEDs because their child was so excited by the library. We have had parents who have used our community career center to get employment because their child came to the library. And we feel that every time a child gets excited about books, about reading, about coming to the library, and every time their family does that, it's one of those situations where we all win. And it's a situation where one is a very large number. And so we would ask you to support Ready to Read. We are not specifically asking for an increase in funding in Ready to Read this year because we understand the constraints on the budget. I can tell you that if you raised it by 25 cents, it would cost $300,000 a year. And so if you find money at the end of the session, please keep us in mind. But that's not why we're here today.
Well, thank you. And I asked Jim Shepke yesterday, and maybe you could answer me this. We're very supportive of the program, but do you do any testing with your regular ready-to-read people to see what kind of progress they make?
We do not do it at the library. But as I said, in McMinnville, this is something that we do, Senator Hartung, with the Head Start program. And Head Start does significant testing. And the head of the Yamhill County Head Start program, Michael Eichmann, has said, "Anne, it's just dramatic. It's the most dramatic partnership we've ever seen." And that is not an exact answer to your question, but it is as close as I can come.
Do they give you any evidence of testing? You know, these days, everything is built around assessments and testing. You know, how are we doing for the investment on our money? Are we improving the learning opportunities and the learning of the children?
In terms of specific, they started here and they ended up here, I can't give you those specifics. What I can do is tell you that every child who is involved in the Ready to Read program in Head Start in McMinnville enters school with the skills and the enthusiasm to start reading and to start learning. That is what we've been told.
They aren't necessarily reading at grade one.
Well, they start out kindergarten. They may or may not be reading, but they are definitely ready to learn, which is what we're all about.
I know there's a lot of competing programs. I'm thinking of former Governor Neil Goldschmidt is involved with a reading program. Do you know how Ready to Read compares to that program in terms of the number of participants and how it's used?
Yes, sir, Senator Hartung. We are, staff at McMinnville Public Library participate in the SMART program, which is former Governor Goldschmidt's program. However, the difference is that the SMART program focuses on children who are in school. And what our focus is in McMinnville is a focus on getting children ready to read, giving them the social and academic skills so that when they reach school, they're ready to learn.
I see. Yes, Representative.
And I'm very supportive of your program, Seth.
Thank you.
And do all of the Head Start programs in the state have the same focus as the one in McMinnville, or is it that unique to McMinnville?
No, I think what is, and this is not entirely unique to McMinnville, there are other public libraries that work with Head Start programs, but that is not the only way that Ready to Read is manifested. I think Head Start has a pretty basic nationwide focus on getting low-income children ready to go to school and to give them the social and academic, pre-academic experiences that the one in McMinnville does. Our program is not the same as programs in all other libraries, but both of these two people can tell you what they do with Ready to Read programs.
Another question, because you mentioned... how much would 25 cents buy you?
Senator Hartung, Representative Winters. 25 cents would cost the state $300,000 a year. 25 cents in the city of McMinnville, we serve about 5,500 children. And... you may be better at math than I am, but off the top of my head, that's about that is sufficient to provide a couple of additional programs. It is additional. One of the things that we do is give brothers and sisters of our Head Start students free copies of books, so that would provide some of those.
Now, as I understand it, you also work with or are involved with domestic. Our social service centers and some of those who are involved with families that are in domestic violence as well as Head Start, is that not accurate?
I can't speak for other libraries. I know that one of the things that we do with our program in McMinnville is teach parenting skills, and we've had some rather dramatic examples of what the smallest thing can do in the relationship between a parent and child. The one that comes to mind is the single parent of a 3-year-old girl who came in and she said, "I don't like my kid and my kid doesn't like me." And we said, "Read to this child 10 minutes a day, twice a day, and see what happens." And at the end of 6 weeks, it was a totally different relationship. And we had a little kid who hollered, "Mommy, let's stop at the library," every time they drove down Adams Street. So that's the kind of thing that happened.
Thank you.
You have Harry Potter available for kids?
Well, yes, sir, if they're not all checked out. We got 10 copies.
Yeah, I've got an 8-year-old granddaughter, and I read to her mother and dad, and read all 4 of them.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Thank you very much. And now could we hear from either one? Oh, excuse me, Senator Trump. No, down there. Senator Hobson.
Senator, thank you, Senator.
Representative Hobson.
I, too, am very impressed with your program, and being from Tillamook, I'm somewhat familiar with it. I think you mentioned initially that it covered children up to age 14. Is that correct?
Yes, it does.
And I appreciate and I'm glad to have the information about Head Start and the preschool children. How do you implement some of that with the older children? And I'm looking particularly at grades 3 and 5, the benchmarks where hopefully some of our focus will be. How does that interact with that part?
Well, one of the things that we have found in the city of McMinnville is that if we deal with the little kids, we keep them in the library, we keep them coming, and they do better in school. Our particular Ready to Read dollars, we focus on preschool and kindergarten and even toddler time children. Other libraries do different things, because each library, when they present their grant money to the state library, has a proposal for how they're going to spend it, and so they're not all the same.
Okay.
No?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I could do a follow-up, do either of the others of you do activities for the older children?
Yes, Angela Reynolds from Oregon Library Association as well. In Washington County, one of the programs that our Ready to Read money has implemented is the Cedar Mill Library takes boxes of books to after-school cares, and takes those once a month. They leave a box of books. They take a different box of books there. And these are kids who are in after-school programs, and usually they're just running around doing all kinds of activities, and they may or may not have books available for them. And so they take different books in for those kids once a month. So that's been a really popular program that serves that age level that you're talking about.
Okay.
Thank you. Other questions, comments?
I'd like to hear from Salem.
Sure, and also we want to hear from Angela before we're out of here.
You want to go first, and then I'll follow up?
Go ahead.
Sure. Okay. This morning I was doing...
Better identify yourself for the record.
I'm sorry.
So we recognize your voice. With it.
Angela Reynolds. This morning I was doing a ready-to-read activity. I went to a daycare and did story time for 35 2- and 3-year-olds this morning. Two separate groups, so it wasn't as bad as you might think. And that's part of one of the programs that we're doing in Washington County. We have over 900 registered family child care providers in Washington County alone. Each of those care providers has at least 3 children and up to 7 in their care. So you can imagine how many children are in child care in Washington County alone. The place I was at was a preschool, and what we do is we go out to preschools, we do a story time, and then we talk to the child care providers about reading to children, and we take books and we leave them there for them. One of the reasons that we are doing this is because of Ready to Read money, and also because we realize that those children are probably not getting to the library because they're in care all day. There's no way most of these preschools can take 35 children to the library, and their parents are working all day. So these are the kind of children that we try to reach in Washington County. I think in the state in general, Ready to Read money has helped libraries to be able to reach out to populations that may not be able to get to the library or maybe are unaware of library services. Another population in Washington County is there's an estimate that 10% of our county is Latino, and many of the people that are in that 10% come from places where public library service does not exist. They don't know about it. They don't know what it can do for them. They don't realize that it's free. And so we have begun reaching out to those people. In Washington County, we've been able to use some of our Ready to Read money and just basically get the word out that libraries are there and that libraries are a good place for families to come and check out books and learn about all kinds of different things, but especially we focus on the preschool children and their families, getting them to build that library habit so that when they do get to school, they're ready to start reading. I happened to have in my car, and so they said, run, get it. Another thing that we did with Ready to Read Money in Washington County, we created what we call early childhood theme bags, and we made these specifically for care providers because we know that they're busy people and that it's really hard for them to get to the library and look for books. So we created these kits. We have 100 of these in English, and we have 37 in Spanish in Washington County. These were all created with Ready to Read Money that wouldn't exist without it. And they're never in the library. They're always checked out. There's five picture books for children, and we created resource notebooks that tells the child care providers how to do a story time. It has finger plays and different kinds of literacy activities. And then there's also a little fun thing in there. This theme is changes in nature, and there's a little caterpillar that turns into a butterfly. So we've created these themes so that care providers can just run into the library, grab one of these bags, or what they usually have to do is put a hold on them, run into the library and grab them, because they're so popular that we just can't keep them on the shelf. And that's just an example of the kinds of things that Ready to Read has helped happen in Washington County.
That's terrific. Can you do what you just described there with the dollar per student? That's part of what you do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So if the dollar per student was reduced, you'd have to cut some of that out, or if it was added on to, you'd do more of those sorts.
If it was added on to, people would probably be really happy if we made more of these, because they ask us about it all the time.
Have you seen the movie Finding Forrester?
No.
Great movie. You gotta see. That's just great for a whole lot of reasons, but one of them is written by Mike Rich, who is from OSU, and it concerns an author and a young black kid grew up in the Bronx, 16 years old, who just as it developed was a terrific basketball player to begin with, but also an author and a writer. Great movie. Reminded me of what you do. Excuse me for interrupting. Anything else?
Okay. I think Representative Winter just had asked if we've worked with social service agencies, and one thing we have done in Washington County with our Ready to Read money is provided collections of children's books in the offices of social service agencies at the health clinic, at some of the free dental clinics, at places like the Department of Motor Vehicles. It's not a social service agency, but it's certainly a place where children are sitting around waiting for things. And I've actually been into some of these places waiting for things myself, and I've seen kids sitting in chairs reading those books that we've put in those places, and that's just a wonderful sight to see kids sitting there reading books instead of staring at a television or doing nothing. So that's a way that we've, in Washington County, have worked with those agencies.
Thank you. Questions? You know, I might just say this morning in Representative Winters, she's chairman of the sub on human services, and we're into the DHS budget, and we got into the reorganization of the DHS budget, particularly as it relates to services around the state, and what you have just told us now is exactly where we want to head. Collaborate with the Department of Education and provide these kind of things, because so many of the DHS clients are there in the office for 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 different types of services, and we're not doing a very good job in providing all the services that we have. Thank you.
I'm B.J. Quinlan, Youth Services Manager at Salem Public Library. In the 19 years I've been at Salem as Youth Services Manager, the best budget years have been given instructions with a hold-the-line budget. So I've never prepared a budget that included program increases. So 7 years of Ready to Read money has made a tremendous difference in the program that we've had at Salem. And I wanted to tell you just a few of the things that we've done during the course of 7 years, because we have focused on not just preschoolers, but that whole gamut of age group from preschoolers on up. We have augmented materials collections for early childhood educators, because they usually have very little in the way of materials in their daycare sites or their home care sites. And a lot of the educators also don't have the formal training to know how to share materials and why it's important. So we have added materials to help them learn about that. We've done parenting videos for parents from everything from breastfeeding from the very beginning of infancy all the way through discipline for adolescents. So all kinds of things that parents need help on, we have videos they can check out. We address homework needs of grade schoolers and teenagers as well. We have developed larger collections of books in the areas that they study in school where we get hit very hard by a lot of the schools in Salem, and we didn't have enough material, so we've bought collection material with ready-to-read money. We've also added computers that children and teens can use in the library that both provide access to the Internet and also provide the ability for them to do word processing. These kids are now required by their teachers to turn in typed papers. They can't handwrite them anymore when they get into upper grade school and high school. And a lot of the children that we see don't have a computer at home. If they couldn't come in and do word processing or look on the Internet for their research, they'd be up the creek after school was closed. So it's a big service, and we do a tremendous business with computers. We also, with Ready to Read Money, developed a safe website for both children and for teens so that they could click on the library website and get homework help and go to fun sites that we have looked at and examined to make sure that they are safe for children. So there's a way for parents and children to interact with the web that's a little bit safer than just experimenting. We have added staffing hours. We've had some budget cuts where we had to basically stop all of our programming except a couple of story times. And Ready to Read Money over the years has provided money to keep our discovery room staffed. That's an area that's hands-on interactive exhibits for 2 to 12-year-olds. The exhibits change every 3 months, and we were faced with closing the door to this. We kept it open with Ready to Read money that year. We've established a storytelling guild that goes out into daycares with volunteers to present story times, much like Angela's, and also to do the training on how to read to children and provide books for these people. And that we did the first year with Ready to Read Money, and we kept doing it the last 4 years with our own staff and library budget. We've done outreach. At one point, we had to stop school visits to the library, daycare visits to the library, where there was any interaction with staff. Ready to Read Money has brought that back. This year, our focus is on programming. We've done so little programming at Salem Public in the last 4 years since the budget cuts have really hit us that we decided this year to focus on programming, and it's all ages. It's from birth through teenage years. We had one lapse at Storytime for the 0 to 2-year-old age group. That got up to about 200 people a couple of years ago. We added a second one last year with Ready to Read Money. We now have 200 in both of those programs. These are parents and children that come. We're going to add a third program this year. We're going to do a monthly musical concert series for the 6 and under set we call Boogie Woogie Fridays, because music is such an important learning tool for younger children. We're going to be doing programming for preschoolers, regular programming. We're going to be doing after-school programming for grade school age. We're adding a parent-child book discussion group for third, fourth, and fifth graders, and an adult, doesn't have to be a parent. We're adding a teen book discussion group. We're going to be providing programs for children on in-service days and holidays that schools are out, which we had to stop doing completely. We're enhancing our summer reading club. We're bringing back our library camping, which we had done for 10 years and then had to stop in 96, where children and parents pledged to keep the TV off for the whole week during National Children's Book Week, and those that do it get to sleep at the library. We got about 300 people that spend the night on the floor in the library, so we're doing that again this November. And we're back to doing outreach to schools and activity fairs and places where families come to get information, and the library needs to have a presence to let them know what there is available. So all of these things are happening. And one quick thing, I attended a meeting 2 weeks ago with people that do outreach library services for children. There were 11 people at the meeting, and because I knew I was coming, I started to count. There were over 25 times that those outreach librarians said, and the only reason I can do this program is because of Ready to Read funds. It has had a tremendous impact around the state.
Well, thank you. Questions?
Well, no, but I just have a comment.
Please.
It's nice to hear from Salem.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad to be here.
Since it's right in my district.
And it's nice they can find something nice to say about it.
That is correct. But, you know, last session, they came and talked to me about Ready to Read then, and I got so excited last session, I was just excited this session, and that's why I asked about the 25 cents.
Other questions or comments? Thank you very much. That was very good. Jim, do you wish to make any comments? We're in the public hearing session right now. Or anybody else? Does anybody have any questions? I got my question answered about the assessments and testing. Anybody else want to testify? We're in public hearing. If not, we'll close the public hearing and open the work session part. And, you know, LFO is doing the job as they are prescribed to do, and that is to look for every saving and every bit of the state operation. And Sue came up with some figures that probably we wouldn't have done this after hearing this representation, but I've asked her to explain how there is an apparent $35,000 that could be saved.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, I've distributed for you for this work session two handouts, the standard memorandum from the Legislative Fiscal Office and then the multi-page spreadsheet with which I'm sure you're very familiar by now after having gone through some work sessions with several licensing boards. And with the Chair's permission, I thought what I would do, instead of going through each program area, that is administration and then library development, CBABs, and government research and electronic services, since the adjustments to the budget are so standard, so that you don't have to hear me drone on and be repetitive, I thought I'd just do it at the agency summary level, mm-hmm. which is not this first page, but the next one. And then if you have any questions about a particular program area, we can turn to that spreadsheet that pertains to that program area and look at those numbers.
Right.
And then I guess the other question I have, Mr. Chair, is do you want me to just give you in summary my recommendations, or do you want me to start with the 9901 LAB and walk you through all the current service level adjustments and so on down to Governor's draft and then over to LFO recommended budget?
Do whatever you think is the most efficient use of time. Been here while we've listened to all of this.
All right. Well, if that's my choice, Mr. Chair, then I'll just go right into my recommendations. And for that, I would refer you also to the memo. And you'll see in the center of that memorandum, it's the LFO recommendations. And they're very straightforward. There are the standard PERS adjustments for the reductions in the actuarial projections for PERS. And where you'll see that on the agency summary is on that first page, kind of in the middle of the page where it says base budget adjustments. And you'll see administrative, biennial lead board, and phase out. Those negative amounts that you see in the LFO budget adjustment column are for the reduction in PERS. So it would be a reduction of $2,567 in general fund, $5,496 in other funds expenditure limitation, and $628 in federal funds expenditure limitation. Then if you turn that page over, again, kind of in the middle of that page, package 060, technical adjustments, you'll see an increase of $300,000 federal funds expenditure limitation. And that's primarily due to the fact that when the governor's budget was put together, there was a certain level of federal funding expected through the Library Services and Technology Act grant. And now there is additional information that those funds are greater than what they were anticipated to be. So that $300,000 technical adjustment would allow the state library to get those funds out to the local districts for their projects. Continuing on that page, under policy packages, what you'll see there, and this is also in the governor's recommended budget, and it is something that is also being recommended by LFO, you'll see a reduction of $35,216 in general fund in library development services. And that is in the Ready to Read program. Now, what that does is it maintains, actually it's a little bit more than a dollar per child. It works out to about a dollar two per child. But it's an adjustment to reflect revisions in the population group, the 0 to 14 age group. So again, it is a reduction, but at the same time, it's slightly over a dollar per child based on these revised population estimates. That would, and then I'll just direct your attention down to that gray box in the bottom. And then the LFO recommended budget for the 2001-03 biennium for the Oregon State Library would be $3,191,792 general fund, $5 million. I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, it's in the middle here, in this gray box down at the very bottom, of $5,103,488 other funds expenditure limitation, and $3,932,219 federal funds expenditure limitation, for a total of $12,227,499, and that's 44.38 FTE. On the memo then, at the bottom of the memo, it tells you what the amendments need to be to the bill itself, to House Bill 5026. And those first, after the main bullets, there are four, if you will, sub-bullets, those first three will take care of what we just discussed. Then I'm also recommending that the subcommittee approve a new section in the bill that would enable the library to pass to the local libraries an additional approximately $500,000 in the LSTA grant funds, their additional monies this biennium that they could distribute if they get additional federal funds expenditure limitation to do that, and that's what this new section in their appropriations bill for a 103 would do. So, in summary, Mr. Chair and members of the subcommittee, those are the LFO recommendations.
Thank you. I'm going to exercise Chairman's prerogative, if with the permission of the committee, and that is to remove Policy Package 101, which would reduce the $35,000 to the Ready to Read. Is there any objection? So what that says to you folks, you got to go find 35,000 more kids to get on that program right now. Good.
Mr. Chairman, what happened to the population estimate? Why is there such a variance?
Mr. Chair and members of the subcommittee, my understanding is that the library was using a different population estimate than what is prepared by the Office of Economic Analysis over at the Department of Administrative Services. And for this particular adjustment, it was agreed between Department of Administrative Services and the library, and LFO concurred that the Office of Economic Analysis's population estimate should have been used, and that's what created the reduction in the Ready to Read program. And I will point out to you with your revision that that is not in the co-chair's budget, so we need to find this. If you're going to add this back to the library's budget, it will need to be found in some other budget.
Did the co-chairs make that reduction? Is that what you're saying?
They, Mr. Chair and Senator Tro, they accepted it. It was not on their add-back list.
Okay, I didn't know that. But let's see, we can go ahead and send it to the full Ways and Means with the idea that the co-chairs will put it back in or we'll find some funds elsewhere. Is that the way we can do that?
Mr. Chair and members of the subcommittee, if you're going to add this back to this budget, then yes, in order to balance the overall budget, there would need to, the savings would have to be found elsewhere.
Is that agreeable?
Yes.
Okay. We'll proceed on that basis then. So give us a figure or a motion to...
Mr. Chair, then what that would do, if you restored that amount in the Ready to Read program and did a quick calculation, what that would do to my recommendation under the recommended bill amendments, rather than inserting for general fund the $3,191,792, you would insert $3,227,008 general fund. And so that would, again, restore the Ready to Read and still reduce the general fund by that PERS adjustment.
Okay, and that's The recommended bill amendments, the first bullet is amend, and so you're talking about the next bullet under that?
That's correct. In the original bill language, Mr. Chair, you would delete $3,194,359 and insert $3,227,008.
Okay, everyone understand that transaction?
Please.
Okay.
And then assuming you agree with the other adjustments for PERS and other funds and in federal funds and the additional federal funds expenditure limitation for the LSTA grants, those next recommendations are at the end.
Explain this greater solution.
Sure.
I move the revised LFO recommendation with the restoration of the money for the ready-to-read grant.
Mr. Chair.
Okay, we have a motion and now discussion. Representative Close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sue, is it correct to say, I'm just trying to figure out the percent increase on the entire budget.
So
if it was 4% over the 99 and then the LFO is 2.44,
over.
Now 6.44, is that correct?
Representative Close, the 4% reflects an increase over 9901 estimated expenditures. And then the 2.4% that I have there in my memo reflects LFO's budget over the governor, so it's not really 4%, it's 2.4%.
So could you tell me that real percentage?
Not real quickly in my head, but I can do it for you and get that information to you.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
I would like to recommend to LFO that if there are other budgets where somehow or other we have different populations used, if we're going to give preference to this one group's population estimates, that everybody knows that. In fact, they should have known it when the budgets were put together, other than now, so we'd have uniformity. And, do you know anything about that, Ms. McLasher?
Mr. Chair and Senator Trow.
There must be other per diem things that. Per population things.
There certainly are, and I can't speak to each and every one of them. I know that some of the population figures do come out of the Office of Economic Analysis, for example, the population forecast.
Let's ask DAS about that. What about it?
Yes, Dave, please come up.
I presume you approve the figures that were used.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Trow. In particular,
identify yourself.
I'm sorry, I'm Dave Fazer from Department of Administrative Services, Budget and Management Division, for the record. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mm-hmm.
The population estimates that were used by the State Library were not specifically from the Office of Economic Analysis. Over the last 5 years, the state has made a concerted effort to refine their population forecasting methodology, working with Portland State University and the CDRC. And we have worked with agencies on a rather consistent basis to move them over to the statewide standard population forecast from the Office of Economic Analysis. In this particular case, during the budget workup, we were dealing with a population forecast figure that was not from the latest OEA forecast. I would submit that if we had used the OEA forecast, it probably would have been different than the baseline we used for the prior biennium just because of that refinement of the methodology. So we think that the use of Office of Economic Analysis population forecast figures represents the best estimate available and the most standardized estimates available for all of our programs across state government.
What are the best figures you think that you can get?
Yes, Senator Trow. There are some specific programs that deal with some very specific populations that the Office of Economic Analysis does not have. But for standardized age groups and ethnicity and certainly statewide figures, they have enough detail sufficient by county to be able to use on a regular basis for program estimates.
So are we now correcting all budgets based on figures that are not as accurate as they should be?
Senator Trow, over the last 5 years, we've been moving that direction. In this particular case, during this budget cycle, I'm not aware of other state programs that have not used the Office of Economic Analysis estimates, should they be applicable.
Okay.
Thank you. Any other questions for Dave? Thank you, Dave. Further discussion on the motion? Restate the motion, or state it first, please.
Sure. Mr. Chair and members of the subcommittee, Senator Trobe moved that you approve the LFO recommended budget as amended to restore package, policy package 101, the reduction in the ready-to-read grant program, which as I explained, would result in inserting in the original bill, deleting the general fund amount in the original bill and inserting $3,227,008 general fund.
Thank you. Is there any other discussion or questions? Is there any objection? Seeing none, hearing none, so ordered. Okay. Representative Schrader moves the this budget, Oregon State Library budget bill of House Bill 5026, to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Is there,
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I'm unclear. Are you going to address the co-chair's budget problem or not?
Yes, yeah. I have to. And you got any good ideas on how to do it? But basically, I'll ask them to add it back because they're going to have other add backs. But if you got any better ideas, well, let me know.
Thank you.
We would hope that we remain. I do have an idea.
Okay. Good. Okay. Is there any further discussion or questions?
Yes.
Could I get three?
Yes. Okay, so ordered, and the carriers will be Representative Winters. Let's see, we just need to the floor,
okay.
Yeah, because we're not going to the Senate and House. Whatever.
Eventually.
Yeah, but you don't need that now.
That would be great.
Oh, okay. Senator Troll to the Senate and Representative Winters to the House Senate. Is there any other business to come before the committee? If not, we are adjourned.